welcome to the Goal Lines Podcast, your Mid-Missouri football guide. If you don't already subscribe, find us on Apple Podcasts and Google Play.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to a new season of the football podcast for the News Tribune. This one will be focusing on the Capital City Cavaliers. I'm your host, Tony Hall. I'm sitting here with Kyle McAravia of the News Tribune. And Kyle, whether we want to or not, a new season is beginning.
Yeah, it's about that time. I'm excited to get started.
You know, it's one of those things where I know the season's always kind of one of those things where coaches always want more time to put more stuff in. Players always want to, you know, probably get going, play somebody different. It never seems like there's a, you know, an exact specific time that's right for anybody, so we're just going to go with this is the week that it starts, so ready or not, here you go. So I guess the first thing we need to start with the Cavaliers is remind me and the rest of our listeners who probably don't remember, how did last year end up for the Cavaliers, and you know, how did that kind of set things up for what we're going to see this season then?
Last year probably was not the way Coach Joe Collier wanted to start his career at Capital City. It was his first season. They went 1-9, second year in program history. You know, just the two seasons for the Cavaliers. Both years, only one win. Last year with it coming against Smith Cotton.
Okay.
You know, wasn't an incredible year. Scored around 13 points a game, but if you take out, I think it was about 46 they scored on Smith Cotton.
Right.
So if you take that out, it's about 9 a game.
Yeah.
They're probably this year hoping to up the offense a little bit more.
So to that end, I guess, you know, we'll look forward more than we look back, but at the same point, it begs the question, how much do we have coming back from last year? How much, you know, does that influence what's going to happen this year in terms of returning players?
There are a good amount of returners. You know, last year would have been Capital City's first year with any seniors.
Sure.
And they did lose a little bit, but kind of the key skill position players are all back. Hayden Carroll was the starter at quarterback all last season. He's expected to be the starter this year. Their main couple of running backs are both seniors this year. The main receivers are seniors. So they've all got experience with the team, but you know, there are more changes just year to year. It'll be, you know, the third season of the team and the third offense they're running.
That's a great transition, because that was my next question. So we've heard kind of a little bit about it. I've heard some rumblings about this, but I guess the question is, it sounds like they're going to have a new offense this year. Do you think that's more a byproduct of tailoring it to the players that we do have this year, or is it just a matter of last year didn't work so great, like you mentioned, in terms of production, so something had to change?
It's probably a mix of both. You know, first year in program history, they were running a wing tee, and then when Coach Collier came in, he wanted to switch them up to more of a pro style last year. Didn't go quite as planned. The way Coach Collier explained it is he felt he could have done a better job, you know, getting the kids acclimated. That's a big change going from the wing tee to a pro style. So they're kind of splitting the difference a little bit this year and going more to kind of a split back veer.
Okay.
With maybe some run pass option involved.
Okay.
So it'll be more of a run based offense again, and in part that will be because they've got a lot of athletes who can move on the ground.
You know? Sure. I was going to say, so, you know, whenever you make those changes, it's kind of like, well, is it more of a philosophical change? You know, some coaches are just like, well, we like to start at a certain place and just then we'll maybe tailor certain things to certain players. Sometimes you just go, well, we figured out that this is not going to work. Or sometimes you can look even longer and you go, you look at the kids you've got this year, look at the kids you may have coming and go, you know, this one may be better suited for what we see coming through the pipeline. So obviously any change is painful. How do we maybe feel like things have gone so far during the preseason? We had the Jamboree last weekend. Obviously, coaches don't show you a ton because a lot of everybody's playing things close to the vest and that sort of thing. But more than anything else, it's just a matter of no matter what we do or what we show, we want to execute well. So how do we feel like maybe the execution's gone so far for the offense at this early stage of the season?
Coach Collier seems excited about how it's been going in practice. You know, it seems like the kids are picking it up well, better than at this point last year with the pro style. The Jamboree went all right. Capital City scored one touchdown in their three matchups.
Okay.
You know, they were moving pretty well at the start of the first one, then a fumble, you know, backed them up, and they couldn't really get moving again. Second matchup, never really got started. And then the third matchup, there were a few electric plays mixed in, but that involved, you know, a different group of players that maybe we'll end up seeing if the regular offense starts to stagnate in the regular season, or okay. maybe it's guys who Collier will be holding back a little bit because they were a younger group.
Sure. I guess I should ask at this point, you know, we mentioned it's a program that's still kind of in its infancy. We're kind of getting through, you know, through the tough stages of getting it started, then a couple of varsity seasons under its belt. How are we looking in terms of total numbers, and how does that also play into maybe the ability to maybe give yourself some more flexibility if you do want to try to change an offense or to tweak things or to introduce more things? Obviously, with more people, that makes that easier. So how are we looking in terms of depth right now for the Cavaliers?
I think there are around 60 kids, which is not a ton for a school capital city size.
Right.
But, you know, they're doing better. I think the overall athleticism of the program is better, so maybe the depth within those 60 guys is a little better than you might expect.
Sure.
Something that stuck out to me, they do have an interesting positional mix for guys that'll be going both ways, offense and defense. You know,
okay.
they have the starting offensive guard is also a middle linebacker, which you don't see a lot.
Right.
One of the starting tight ends is also a safety.
Okay.
So I think it's an interesting mix of athleticism that you're going to get at different
sure.
positions that might lead to more depth than you would expect with kind of a smaller number of overall players.
Okay. Well, we focused a lot on the offense. So let's switch it up to the defense and ask you, you know, any changes there? Are we going to see the same sort of look? And how do the players they have fit into what they want to try to do?
I think it's mostly the same. It's going to be a base 3-4. So you got your three down linemen in front, outside linebackers coming up, often rushing the passer. I don't think it's going to be a huge change just because I think the way Coach Collier has explained it, he has a lot of faith in kind of especially his front seven, to be able to get pressure on the quarterback without mixing it up and doing a lot of, you know, fancy stuff or a lot of different blitz packages or anything like that. So I would expect you're just going to see a lot of base out of them. Let the 3, 4, 5 guys who are going to rush the passer regularly just go after him and try to wreak as much havoc as they can.
Yeah.
And trust that your defensive backfield is going to do their job.
Sure. So how many, you kind of mentioned, you alluded to the some players going different ways. Do we have an idea of how many are going to be doing that and how much that could mean in terms of, you know, when are people going to get their rest? Do you see, you know, maybe a little more depth on defense than offense, therefore you can spell them there? Or is it going to be the guys that are playing both ways are just going to be out there a lot?
From what I can tell, it seems like the guys who are going to be out there both ways are going to get a lot of time. It kind of still depends. There are a couple of positions that I think are still being looked at to see who's going to be the main guy at that position.
Okay.
Whether that's, you know, they've got probably a 4 running back mix, and in a Veer you need to, you know, switch them out a lot.
Sure. Because
those guys are going to be going hard a lot of the plays. But, you know, who ends up breaking out as the number 1 and the number 2 back, you know, might determine which guys are getting more time, if they're also a linebacker, right, or if they're a corner.
Sure.
You're not going to run your number 1 running back at corner every play
right.
on defense.
Right.
It's stuff like that is still, I think, to be determined through the first week or two of the season.
Sure. And obviously with a team that doesn't have a ton of depth, which you would like to have more than probably what they do have, injuries will be the thing that probably determines a lot of this too, which you hope you remain injury-free. You know that you're not going to. You just hope that maybe it doesn't impact you. So the worst thing could be if you have some of those two-way guys get dinged up, then that's going to be something that hurts you probably bigger than that. But again, if you do have enough where you can play with it, then you can figure out where to spell guys, where to rest them, whatever. I guess then the next question would be special teams. It's always the third facet. Sometimes we don't talk about it a lot on the podcast, so it's easy to forget about it. But, you know, with a season opening one, it's easy to look at it and go, okay, how do we think things look there? Are there anything that stands out, or is it just a matter of that's just another area we're dealing with in the preseason?
That I think is going to be a bit more of a change from last year. Kicker and punter were the same kid. He's not with the team anymore. So they're kind of mixing it up from what I've heard. It's going to be a couple of guys taking on over, maybe, you know, a kickoff specialist, a place kicker, and a punter.
Okay.
All being different guys. Kick return and punt return, it does seem, you know, like the usual kind of a mix of generally receivers or a third or fourth running back.
Sure.
It does seem like Coach Collier has more faith in the return game this year than he has previously, at least from what he was telling me. But that is going to be something, that's another thing probably that's figured out as we go along here.
Sure. you know, we always talk about with you know, coaches and new programs or developing programs, you know, how important it is for kind of the coaches to get, or the players to get used to the coach. We lose sight of the fact sometimes too that, you know, Coach Collier's kind of still new to this situation. How does it seem like in terms of, do you think he feels more comfortable? What are your opinions about him kind of as he's gotten another a season under his feet? How do you think he feels about, you know, just in terms of, you know, how prepared he is for the stuff that comes with this a lot of times and a lot of the changes you kind of have to make on the fly sometimes?
Sure. I think last year there was definitely an odd period at the start of the year. Just, I mean, you're in the second year of the program, you're already on your second coach.
Right.
Right, that's not a great situation for anybody. And especially they, you know, Coach Collier brought in an offensive coordinator who he had confidence in, who left a week or two before last season started.
Right.
So there was even more changes within the coaching staff.
Sure.
This year, there's a lot more stability just overall within the coaching staff. So all of these guys have been able to work with all of the kids for the full year now. They've gotten the chance to, you know, go out and do non-football stuff together too. And it seems like that has brought a lot more confidence is one word, but just familiarity, comfort between the coaching staff and the players for this season.
Yeah. Looking a little bit to the schedule, obviously the bulk of it's going to be made up of the CMAC. It's going to be, you know, conference heavy, but there are a couple dates that aren't, including the opener. So how do we think that the schedule looks in terms of, obviously we don't know who anybody is at this point. You're never quite sure until we get a few weeks in, you know, even with the team itself, let alone the opponents. But how does the schedule, what's your kind of maybe first initial impressions about the schedule when you look at it?
There's going to be some tough matchups throughout the year.
Sure.
The CMAC is a great conference.
Right.
So, you know, Capital City is still building itself up. There's probably going to be some tough points as
right.
we go through. But a lot of the schedule is pretty close to home. They're not really going farther than Columbia until the last 3 weeks of the season.
Okay.
They do have a matchup at Sedalia, another one at Truman. So those will be a little farther out later
sure.
in the year. But for the most part, they're going to stick pretty close to home. So that might help a little bit.
Yeah.
They do have the interesting thing again this year that they're going to be playing home games at Atkins Stadium, the football field at Capital City, still not ready.
Okay.
And they will host Jefferson City at Capital City.
Right.
At Atkins Stadium.
Yeah.
So, you know, there will be some interesting, some fun quirks there.
Sure.
Yeah, it's a tough schedule. It's always going to be in the CMAC, and, you know, it might take a lot of work for Capital City.
And then as far as the week one opponent goes, we're starting with Warrensburg again, right?
Yep, it'll be Warrensburg for the third year in a row.
Okay.
The first two matchups did not go quite as Capital City would have wanted.
Right.
I think Warrensburg won year one in the program 48-7, last year 46-13, so a little bit closer, but
right.
still, you know, a
same,
big,
same type of thing.
Pretty
yeah.
big gap there.
Right.
So hopefully, you know, Capital City can have a little bit better of a showing this year in the third try.
And I think, you know, again, we don't know much about them. They probably don't know much about themselves either until you get out there on the field and play. I think I do think that it's an interesting measuring stick from the standpoint of, yes, you go, at least you have the consistency of that same opener. And if you're just measuring maybe program against program, that's a way that you can kind of maybe take a yardstick and go, okay, if we all of a sudden come out and play them a whole heck of a lot closer this year, then maybe that means we're trending in the same direction. If we have the same kind of result, then, you know, at a certain point, you go, well, maybe that's not the opponent you want to keep opening with, because maybe you want somebody else that gives you a little bit better week one opponent to kind of ease your way into the season. Who knows? But I guess we'll just find out. You know, week one will be week one what it always is. It's just an interesting game from a lot of standpoints.
Yeah, and, you know, as you said, nobody really knows the other team. Nobody
sure.
really knows their own team all that well.
Right.
And kind of along that same path, I don't know really anything about this year's Warrensburg team. What I can tell you a little bit about last year's team is they started out 3-0 and then ended 3-6.
Okay.
So, it, you know, kind of went off a cliff there at the end. And it's not just that they were playing, you know, easier teams at the beginning. One, you know, Capital City to start the year, they did play Sedalia in there too, but they also beat a team that ended 8-2.
Okay.
So it'll be interesting to see how that trend either continues or is immediately stopped.
Exactly.
For Warrensburg, ending on a 6-game losing streak is obviously not something anybody wants.
Right. And that's a good preface to say, bear in mind what we say next to take with a grain of salt, but this is where we get to the prediction point of the podcast. And having said, we're not real sure what we got from Capital City, we're not real sure what we got from Warrensburg, I'm still going to ask you, how do you see week one playing out, and what's your prediction for this game?
Oh, part of the research I was doing about Warrensburg, you know, was looking into last year's stats and everything. It does seem like almost all of their leaders in every statistical category were seniors.
Okay.
So quarterback was a senior, their top two running backs were seniors, their top three guys in receiving yards and top three receiving touchdowns guys were all seniors. Tackles leader was a senior, so it seems like they might be
right.
You know, doing a full reload.
Sure.
And so I think Capital City's got a much better chance this year. They've got the consistency coming in, you know, having for the first time the same head coach going into a year.
Right.
You know, the same starting quarterback expecting. It's a new offensive system, but they've had a while to work into it. I'm still going to say Warrensburg probably comes out on top, but I think it'll be a much better game, a much closer game for Capital City, and a good sign of where the program's headed. So I'll say something, maybe Warrensburg 28, Capital City 21.
All right, that should do it for this week. For Kyle McArabia, I'm Tony Hawley saying thanks for listening.
For more information about this week's game, pick up a copy of the Goal Line section in Friday's News Tribune and get game updates and more prep sports content all week by following Kyle McArabia on Twitter at Kyle_McArabia, McArabia. Thanks for listening.